When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun. America, yeah!
He's gonna go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hogs.
I raw dogged that dead rabbit today. I got something's on.
What are you gonna do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know.
I want to make sweet, sweet football love with Dan Lee.
Oh my god, it's corn! People of corn!
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
You rarely have good questions.
What?
Golf.
Oh. What? No, I'm not going to give you no cookie.
Welcome into the club. We miss our compatriots, Isaac, Souk, both out for the holiday. Isaac will be back on the 27th, Souk back on the 30th. For those of you who don't like listening to us, too bad. Those guys get vacation too. Sorry about that. But we are here for you in SOB edition. Schulze, Ortner, Buckley, be back with you tomorrow as well. But there's lots for us to get to here in the club. And I mean lots. And we will not get to all of it today. We might not even get to all of it tomorrow. But I'll leave it to you guys what we want to get into first. There are so many things to choose from in this Santa sack full of stories. Among the options, what are the chances we've actually cured cancer? Where are Americans moving, both domestically and internationally? Something banned in Florida that'll affect millions.
Is that surprising to anybody? I don't care what it is, but it's Florida banning something. Shocking.
We have a judge-prosecutor sex scandal in Massachusetts. We've got an influencer who is apparently has the world by the balls.
Well, he does.
And then,
unfortunately,
a cartel cockfight massacre, and tis the season for broken penises. Where do you guys want to go?
Will, I don't know about you. We got to throw the cancer in somewhere, but we shouldn't start with that.
Oh, see, because I want to start with the cancer.
Well, then let's go.
I want to know, like, if we've solved cancer, I need to know right now.
My wife works as a clinical research associate, like, for pharmaceutical companies on studies that are, you know, trying to find drugs to cure all this stuff. So lay it on me. I'm pretty interested.
She big pharma?
Yes, technically.
Mm. Well, consider the source. This is coming to us out of Russia. Where, I guess we need to be careful what we say. They're probably listening.
Weren't there vaccines for COVID not good?
I think that's accurate. But Russia says that they have developed a cancer vaccine. They will launch it and roll it out for free. Russia's health ministry claims they've developed a vaccine against cancer. The head of the Radiology Medical Research Center of the Ministry of Health said the shot will launch in early 2025. That's according to their state-run media. It will be used to treat cancer patients rather than being given to the general public first. But apparently it is supposed to prevent tumors, prevent cancers from showing up. I just call me skeptical. It says that the similar to the rest of the world, cancer rates are increasing in Russia. More than 635,000 cases recorded in 2022, but it's also not clear which cancers the vaccine is designed to treat, or how effective it will be, or how Russia plans to roll it out. So other than that, great plan.
So it seems to me like they're full of it. They are liars.
Shocking.
I mean, it sounds what they to me like they have a miracle drug and you probably can't have it because you're not Russian.
I don't want it. Joke's on them. I don't want Russian shots shot into me.
Yeah, I'm going to go conspiracy theory tinfoil hat guy here and say that something in that vaccine is not good.
Ooh, what if they're tracing you with chips? That's what I heard COVID vaccines had.
I've already been chipped. I'm not worried about it.
Chip us like all the cats and dogs out there.
It says in the same way that traditional vaccines use part of the virus to prevent the disease, these will use harmless proteins from the surface of cancer cells known as antigens. So not only is this supposed to be a cancer vaccine, it's supposed to prevent you from getting cancer by injecting you with just a little bit of cancer.
So you're going to give me cancer so that the cancer kills.
I mean, listen,
my body kills
that
the cancer.
That is how vaccines work.
That is how vaccines work, what if but my the slope body, is a little slipperier on that one.
What if my body doesn't kill the cancer? Also, there are multiple different cancers. Like, if you give me butt cancer, am I now just free of butt cancer? Do I have to then go through bone and blood cancer as well? I don't believe. No. Anti. I'm against Russia giving me an injection of cancer.
Does say that other countries have also been working to develop their own personalized cancer vaccines, and then in May, researchers at the University of Florida tested an individualized vaccine on 4 patients with glioblastoma, and they said the team found the shot triggered a strong immune response just 2 days after the injection. Now, that sounds like that was nice for the 4 people involved in that test, but still maybe not enough for me to believe that the entire country of Russia has just found it out how to prevent cancer in general.
This was based on 4 people?
Well, this is one of the other ones. Okay. This was one in Florida. Hey, there we are, Florida again. This is one in Florida that the U.S. has been trying to figure out.
Okay.
So, I mean, listen, I am all for curing cancer, solving cancer. Just don't count me among those at the front of the line to believe that Russia's actually done it.
Yeah, I don't believe anything that comes, like, everything is a grain of salt out of Russia, out of China, and probably a few other countries. Like, if someone tried to come in and say, like, they found a way to cure cancer, and it was in, New Zealand, I don't know that I believe it, you know? And I think, I don't think that I'm going to allow someone to put a cancer vaccine in my body. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm anti-Russian cancer vaccine.
I think I'm probably anti-Russian shot of any type.
Yeah, don't give me anything from Russia.
Although, these are the same people that figured out what kind of alcohols would help you hide your steroid usage better, so...
That's true.
Remember, there's different ones for men and for women.
They were pretty good at that.
They came up with a system.
At least.
They had the little, cubby hole that you would put the pee in, and then on the other side of the wall, after you tested it, they'd grab it and switch the pee out. They had a very intricate
the glory
system.
Hole. Mm-hmm.
That's it was called
that,
the glory.
I know.
I know.
That is literally what they called it. I forgot that detail. Oh,
that is how you won Olympic glory. You put your pee through the hole, and they gave you the clean pee.
Uh-huh. That is true. If you haven't seen the documentary Icarus, go watch it.
It's such a good one.
So good. The reporting is outstanding. One of the better sports documentaries
it's awesome.
I've seen.
And I've seen that one.
There you go.
Look, I got you, man.
All right, well, let's get into something, a little happier than that. I found this fascinating today, a study on where Americans are moving both domestically and internationally.
Where they can afford to.
So I figured that would be maybe towards the top of the list, but I don't necessarily think that all of these states reflect that. So it's the top 10 states that Americans are moving to, and also the top 5 states that Americans are moving out of. So Let's start with the top 10 inbound states for 2024. This is based on this year's data, and this is from a moving company that did a lot of research on this. Any guesses for the number one state that people are moving to?
Number one state people are moving to, where is it?
You had it
nicer?
You had it there, cost of living.
I was going to say cost of living, probably slightly nicer. You're not saying like a Colorado, maybe?
Would you believe that the most Americans are moving from their state to Arkansas?
Gross.
Arkansas.
Is it want some butter hogs?
I'm guessing.
It has to be. Because there's some lakes there. There's some swamps. You can get some waterfront property. I'm assuming for what? Maybe $200,000-$300,000 as opposed to like $600,000 or $700,000 in other states?
It's cheaper, but what's there?
Great question. The Ozarks. Maybe the show Ozark got everybody in on it.
No, but I'm more meaning of like jobs. Like what kind of person is going out
so
there?
So isn't Walmart down there, Bentonville?
Yes, Bentonville, Arkansas.
So they employ a lot of people, the Walmarts.
Yeah, but you're not like working as a Walmart greeter and now I can buy a house.
But I think Buck is making the point that there's some industry in Arkansas that you can find.
Less than out here.
Oregon did not make the list, but Washington did. Washington, one of the top, it's number 9 for inbound states that people are moving to.
Top 10, that's right.
No state income tax, baby. You literally gain 8 to 10% of your money back when you move to Washington, unless you already lived like in Texas or Florida. It is something that my wife and I have talked about for quite a long time. Like, hey, should we hightail up to Vancouver, maybe get a little bit of that benefit? She works from home, so she'd gain 8% back.
As someone who works in Vancouver, or lives in Vancouver but works in Portland, you pay that tax.
Oh, no, you still pay
the tax. That sucks.
No, I would pay the tax, but my wife works from home.
Right.
She would not.
She would be good. Okay. So I was you would pay the tax.
Of course.
And let me tell you right now, it really makes you mad when you find out what taxes are.
So let's play the simple game of would you move there with the top 10? Arkansas.
No.
Hell no.
Number 2, Rhode Island.
No.
I've been to Rhode Island. Strong no, whichever coach said that.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that would be, that's our guy, James Franklin.
Oh,
where are you, James?
Of course. Like, Penn State going to go down again. 1-14.
Jimothy?
Gets top 5 teams.
No. Strong no.
Number 3, North Carolina.
I would move to North Carolina.
I think so, too.
Yep.
Gorgeous there.
I've heard a lot of great things about it. I think I've flown through Charlotte, but I've not spent really any time in the state. Not a state, but Washington, D.C., number 4.
That seems expensive.
Yeah.
Why are people moving?
And I've heard that lawfully, it's just not very easy to live there. It's just not quite the most fun place to be.
Number 5, Idaho. Surprising.
No, a lot of people love Boise. I have a couple friends that have all made their way out to Boise and that Boise area. They love it.
Yeah, one of my friends moved to Boise about 4 or 5 years ago.
Heard a lot of rich people moving there, and also a lot of people moving there for work. I had a couple people that I know that were taken there for about 4 years each for work, and then came back to Oregon.
Yeah. Number 6, would you move there? Tennessee?
Depends on the area of Tennessee, but yes.
I haven't spent a ton of time there. I've been to Nashville. I've been to Knoxville. Absolutely loved both. I love Tennessee. Other than the humidity, pretty much perfect for me. Number 7, Maine.
Depends on the part. If it's southern Maine, yes. If it's northern Maine, hell no.
I had a roommate for many years from Old Town, Maine.
Nice.
Right next to Newtown?
Right next to Bangor, I guess.
Bangor, Maine.
Number 8.
Pretty beautiful there.
Number 8, Connecticut?
Depends.
I'd say no. I've driven through there. Kind of sucks.
Could live in Bristol, work at ESPN.
I was going to say, that would be why I would be able to be there.
I feel like that's like the number one reason anyone moves to
Bristol. You could do Bristol.
Number 9 is Washington, we mentioned. And number 10, Alaska.
Would not live there.
No.
Could not pay me enough to get out there.
Now, do you want to guess at some of the states that are in the top 5 of people leaving in the U.S.?
California. That's got to be in the top 5.
That is number 2.
Because their money is redonkulously low value there.
Yep.
New York, maybe?
New York is number 5.
Yeah, I would throw...
Massachusetts.
No, Massachusetts. The others are maybe a little bit tougher. You have Louisiana is number 1. That's the place that people are leaving the most.
Why?
I don't know.
That feels like an area that would be cheap.
Yeah.
It's hard to live with all the hurricanes, though, down there, too.
That could be part of it. Yeah. Weather.
That makes sense.
Illinois, number 3. Kind of interesting there.
They're not there.
I would have thought that would be higher because of Chicago.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, below Chicago, it's pretty bleak. You got to go a ways to get to St. Louis or Chicago from the middle of Illinois.
And then... Number four, South Dakota. I guess I can't be surprised that a lot of people
in the Dakotas.
Well, nobody. They're all leaving.
Well, I know, but they weren't there to begin with. Wait,
people who were born there are.
I've driven through the entire state, and I remember seeing it was billboard after billboard for hundreds of miles telling me to go to a drugstore that was basically just like this world-famous biggest drugstore. Basically ended up just being a bunch of trinkety little crap that we didn't need to see. That is all they've got going on in South Dakota and Mount Rushmore.
They have the Jackrabbits, too. They're pretty good at football.
But only people like you care about the Jackrabbits.
That is true.
I don't think they have enough broad appeal, so to speak.
I don't know if you saw the game that they were playing Incarnate Word on Saturday.
Ooh, missed that tilt.
There were probably about 100 people there. It's not a sold-out game, not a sold-out affair. But again, you're playing outdoor football in South Dakota in December. It's cold.
Where Americans are moving to and from internationally, get to that next on The Club. Primetime, 1080 The Fan. Well, it is that time of year where we're stretched a little thin here at The Fan, so my cohort, Klondike Will Ortner, out trying to solve some 9-10 ESPN Portland issues. Oh,
and he's back.
And here he is. I'm guessing issue solved, or maybe not. See you next break.
Issue solved.
Of course.
Joey's the best.
Look at this. Joey is the best.
And Jake, I think.
And Jake.
They both fixed it. I don't know who fixed it. I'm giving them both credit.
They're both the best.
But I am going to have to run away here in a second.
I know you are. Will be heading over to the Pilots broadcast shortly. Schultz and I will have to soldier on with judge prosecutor sexcapades, perhaps what's getting banned in Florida.
That is one way.
Or maybe
way.
Even a cartel massacre.
That's one way to get your client off.
Or tis the season. Well, speaking of getting your client, I mean,
hey.
tis the season for the fractured penis. We haven't gotten there yet.
Please save that for me. Yeah, we might have to save that one for tomorrow.
We could potentially save that. Let me tell you, there is a spike in that injury around the holidays.
I think that's usually how you get that injured.
I mean, there's a spike in deaths around the holidays, so I guess it just makes sense. Like, everything happens around Christmas, right? Or Hanukkah or whatever.
Yeah. It feels like it. I mean, there's a spike in a lot of stuff there. We also get a what to do if yours breaks PSA out of it as well. So
go to the hospital.
We'll make sure we save that for
I think I can rub some dirt on it and walk it off. What are you talking about? God, that's what I
don't.
Got taught in baseball.
I don't want to hear anything about you rubbing anything on it, all right?
No. That's how you fix the injury.
I know.
If it works for when I get hit in the butt in a Little League baseball game, why wouldn't it work for if I broke my penis?
Right in the butt.
Right in the butt.
Thank you.
Americans moving internationally. Top 10 outbound places. Where do you think Americans are going? Any guesses? What's
Italy's
on the list?
Italy's got to be in the top 10.
Italy, not on the list.
They are offering houses for $1 for sale.
So. Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you gotta,
in certain parts.
You got to
yeah.
build them and mm-hmm. put a bunch of money into them and put like $25,000 in escrow to purchase these houses for a buck.
Now, this is based off of a moving company's statistics of where all Americans are going. So it's not that Italy might not be on the up and up, but this is from 2024 where Americans did move. The number one place, Panama.
Panama. Okay, so we're talking maybe some cheaper Central American countries that offer a lot for a little, and a couple with $2-3 million saved can live high on the hog in, you know, Central America.
So then
Panama.
Puerto Rico's going to be on there.
Yeah,
bingo. Puerto Rico's number 9.
Yeah.
There are a couple others.
I would have thought like Canada, but so maybe, are people moving to Mexico?
People are not moving to Mexico. Well, they're not in the top 10. For like destinations for outbound Americans.
Honduras or Guatemala?
Close. We've got the Dominican Belize. Republic.
Yep.
And we've got Ecuador. Those are 3 and 4.
Ecuador's big.
Number 2, I think, is just based on population. It's India. I think that they just worldwide have a massive population. There are tons of people that come from India to the U.S. and go back from the U.S. back to India.
You'd have to pay me so much money.
I visited once for a friend's wedding. It was a really cool cultural experience. I don't have any desire to go back. It's not. It's just.
It looks very crowded there.
It's really crowded. It was so polluted there. We had to take a couple flights there. The place where the wedding was not in one of the major hubs. Flying out of Nagpur, which is where the wedding was, and back to, I think it was Mumbai. This was around the time of the fires that we had in Oregon, or it was on the heels of that summer. And the air quality at the airport from pollution was so bad, it was worse than Oregon during the firefighters. They couldn't send during the Oregon fires.
Yeah.
They couldn't send flights out of the airport because of pollution visibility. They needed to either wait for one wind or two rain to clear it. We just sat in the airport for 4 hours under a fog of pollution. It was unbelievable.
Gross.
And like, hard to breathe in the ways that like you feel when you go to places at elevation. Yeah. It was rough.
Gross.
Number five on the list, though, Turkey.
This is weird.
What's the hair thing?
Well, everyone goes to Turkey to get the hair transplants.
Oh, but I would imagine they don't stay in Turkey.
Maybe you can't get back.
That's fair.
Possible. I mean, they're Turkey, there's a lot of political unrest there. I'm not sure how desirous I would be of moving there.
Yeah, wasn't that, didn't like less than 5 years ago, like an attempted coup try to happen there or something like that? Yeah. Good Lord.
Indonesia, number six. Morocco, number seven. The Netherlands, number eight.
That makes sense.
I was there. I went there in college. Lovely place.
Legal pot, legal sex. It's all. And I mean, like, pay for sex.
And honestly, it's a lovely country. I mean, it. I think it's around the same, what is it, the same latitude as Portland, like across the globe. And so it's a similar climate.
It doesn't change much.
But it's really nice springs and summers. You can kind of get some Indian summer on the back end, but you get wet and gray throughout most of the winter. It's similar climates.
I can get behind that.
And then number nine, Puerto Rico. And number 10, Singapore.
Singapore. Kind of random. Must be
very
nice there.
Very random. Well, I think that has to do with Singapore being kind of one of the most westernized big Asian metropolitans.
I had no idea. That's kind of awesome.
I don't know that for sure.
I mean, it used to be Hong Kong until China got control of them and slowly has, you know, turned it back to China rule, but yeah.
Well, now, speaking of China, the top 10 inbound places that people are coming to America from, China is number three on that list. Number one, the UK. Number two, Bahrain. Who knew?
Wait, so everybody's coming to the U.S. from these
places now. Okay. Yeah. Bahrain. So this is inbound. One, the UK. Two, Bahrain. Three, China. Four, Colombia. Five, our neighbors to the north, Canada. Huh. Some of these countries are so small, I can't believe that
Bahrain doesn't make sense.
It's high enough to, like, to make a tick in the statistics. Because
right?
Then following that, you have Cyprus, Bangladesh, and Fiji. Those are all tiny nations.
Yeah, but they've got money. And this is, we're talking legal immigration in these statistics, I'm assuming. I would imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to get political here, but the United States brings in a million people legally.
It's not just people crossing the border.
Regardless of whatever you believe. And in that, it takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of time.
Yep.
And all the nations that you just named,
that's right,
I would believe their GDP is pretty high up there, which means their constituents have a lot of cash.
Is it a percent? Maybe like it's a percentage of people that go, which is why it's so high.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Because Bahrain, like Fiji's tiny.
Well, they want me to download their media kit if
I
have to find out how these numbers are.
I don't care.
Stop it.
I don't care that much.
You need to bring your travel expert on for an interview there, buddy.
Rounding out the top 10 of inbound is Spain at number 9 and Austria number 10.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Spain and Austria politically not as great as here. I don't know.
Well, we do have to unfortunately bid adieu to Big Klondike Will Ortner, who's going to leave us for the pilots. But we promise to save the fractured penis stories the holidays for you for tomorrow. Coming up, Schultz and Al will figure out what we're going to get into, what's been banned in Florida, a judge prosecutor sex scandal, maybe the best Christmas movies, maybe a cartel massacre.
No.
It's hard to say. One of those things is coming up. But first, Schultz's got this SportsCenter update. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us along this quest we call the club. Ortner gone. He's on pilot's duty now with swag on the call. I'm not actually sure who they're playing tonight.
Here's the situation. Hold on, everybody.
But I do know that Swag and Ortner now tied up, which means it's Buck and Schultz time, the BS portion of the SOB. Primetime cast.
Nobody wants that.
Has come at you. But we have a lot of things that we could potentially get into, except for fractured penises. That'll be on tomorrow's show. So a couple options to go with here, Schultzy. We have what's being banned in Florida that'll affect millions. We have judge and prosecutor sexcapades in Massachusetts outed by an anonymous Madam X.
I love that.
We also have influencers doing whatever they want around the world. And we have a cartel massacre in Mexico.
I mean, the Mr. Beast thing's probably just going to piss me off. So let's go with the sexcapades in Massachusetts. They're kind of known. I would say the Boston area is one of the centers of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. They've already had some issues with some sexual abuse allegations in that area. So well, what else are they doing in Mass?
Thankfully, this is not about abuse, but more about professional impropriety.
Uh-oh.
As we have a judge and a prosecutor that have now both stepped down after they were outed having an affair by a mysterious, quote, Madam X. So basically, this anonymous Madam X started sending poison pen letters, essentially letters meant to out other people, but without any, I don't want to say factual basis, without any tangible information about how to contact them and what have you out of it. But the details of these letters were super specific, and with being able to verify, like, was really easy to find out that they were absolutely true. And so these letters started coming out that this judge and prosecutor were spending an inordinate amount of time together, that they were often having drinks after in judges' chambers after proceedings in the court, that every Tuesday night that they would meet up somewhere afterwards at a place called Carmine's, and then they would then go to either one of her friends' houses or an office somewhere to have sex. Mm-hmm. But basically, the reason that this all came to light is because these anonymous letters started coming in on like typed paper to the DA. It says, like, so the first one says, "Mrs. King, I'm writing you this letter to inform you that the presiding judge in New Bedford District Court, Judge Danbro, is having an affair with one of the prosecutors, who I believe is named Carrie Lynn Butler. They are putting themselves in the same courtroom whenever possible. They do depositions together, they do bench trials together, and they do jury trials together. They have been in an affair since the end of 2022. He started courting her in drug court, and they go and meet pretty much every Tuesday after court for drinks and to hang out in the office upstairs. Sometimes she hangs out in his chambers after the court is closed. In some cases, they have that they have heard together are the and then it lists actual cases that they've worked on together. So I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with a prosecutor and some judge and a judge having some nookie, but when you are starting to, it gets really gray really fast when you're starting to put them in the same room for matters that affect the public. And that's where we are here. He apparently, the judge, is married. And
of course,
that's no good for him. He's had to resign and give up his $207,000 a year salary and pension. So that's a bummer. But he has gone on to make start a practice of his own. The letter goes on to specifically say the restaurant they've gone to and dates when they went there. So this could be easily verified. It's unclear who the person, this Madam X with an axe to grind, is, but apparently they once had an in-person confrontation with the Mrs. or the Miss in the affair, Madeline or Carolyn Butler. You following here so far?
I think so. This is basically just two people using their power to do the dirty.
I think it's that they're doing the dirty, and then because they like each other so much, they're like, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine professionally.
Which is
and
not
that's
okay.
Where the state has a big problem.
That is called quid pro quo.
That's right.
Most companies ban that kind of practice. Wow. I mean, the powerful and the rich, you can't just say that they're all the ones that like sex, right? I think we all like sex, but when we get power or money or access to that, it kind of amplifies what our true personalities are, and these people have no morals. It's kind of disgusting. It's the kind of impropriety that you hope only goes on in movies. You know, you turn on a TV show, and that's the plot for your favorite Friday night sitcom that you sit down, you know, or a drama, whatever, that you catch with your wife every single week. Nope, this is real life. That's kind of the feeling I get from here. This sucks.
Yeah, the Daily Mail, who's reporting on this, said that in-person confrontation happened back in January, but that they've reached out to Danbro's wife, Cheryl. She declines to comment, of course. And yeah, I mean, that's essentially the extent of it. But really odd. I think the most fascinating part is that there's this random anonymous who's bringing it all to light, and seeming, and we don't really know why. Maybe there's a case of theirs that got affected by this. Maybe it's another spurned lover. I don't know if it's a...
That's what I was going to say. I think there's a situation where somebody didn't get the hmm-hmm, watching somebody else getting the hmm-hmm successfully pissed them off, and they're like, well, you know what? You're not going to sleep with me. I'm going to ruin your life. I just wonder. There's a potential for so many illicit kind of things happening in these buildings. I would hope that everybody running, you know, a judicial branch of a state or a county is at the top of their moral ground. But oh my god, this is gross. We suck as humans.
Yeah, we do. So this somehow spins into our next story, but that is. Well, because it's in the same realm of topics, I suppose. In Florida, starting January 1st, do you know what they're banning that's going to affect millions of people? Millions of horny people?
Oh no. Wait, are they banning sex toys?
They're banning Pornhub.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you can't just click on the IM18 slide anymore, whatever that is?
So apparently, as the story goes, there is new legislation that has been introduced in Florida that will go into effect on January 1st that requires a more advanced age verification. And they think it's an invasion of privacy rights to the state does. Florida thinks that you shouldn't have to give up like your driver's license to prove that you're 18.
Not to a porn site, no.
Which, okay, fine. But basically what they've said is that rather than have their citizens go through that verification process that they, Pornhub has said rather than deal with Florida not wanting to have it, they're just going to pull the site. So there's not going to be any more Pornhub in Florida starting on January 1. You will see a message that says 403, this state is not whitelisted.
I mean, I guess I...
It's the world's most popular adult entertainment site. The parent company ILO said that they opted to block the access rather than comply with the new state law. So it's Pornhub that doesn't actually want to comply with the law that gives up more information. And so Floridians... they're going to be denied their porn site.
I get now the one porn site. I guess I'm not breaking any news here that there are more than one option. There is more than one option for porn on the internet.
Now, I did not know this, but the article told me that Pornhub has already been blocked in 12 other states.
I think I'd heard something about that.
Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Montana, Mississippi, Nebraska, North Carolina, Texas, and Virginia.
Honestly, I trying to say this the right way. Porn sites are not necessarily, like, I get it, we all have needs, right? Some of us are single out there, some of us like to watch some dirty stuff, that's fine. But the things on these sites has been found to not necessarily always be, I guess the correct word is legal.
Sure.
Maybe some, you know, things that we shouldn't be watching have slipped in amongst the content that says it's all like 18 plus, for instance. Because you have to be 18 to post on Pornhub. And all of these companies are figuring out that it's really hard to police the content that is posted on these sites. So not only is it really hard to police the age of people watching it, but it is hard to police the age of people in the videos. And in the world of technology and where we're at in 2024, man, it's kind of gross out there. Like, for the stories that I've read of people just finding old videos of themselves on a porn site or like some kind of revenge porn, like that's another thing that leaks into these things. It's not always legal material that's being put on these sites. So, I mean, yeah, everybody has the right to run a business, but porn online, it's definitely a little bit of a I'm trying to find the right word here. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's a weird frontier anyways to try to police.
Exactly. That's also true.
But a little more information about what kind of what the what's behind the law from Florida's standpoint. It passed with bipartisan support, signed by Governor Ron DeSantis on March 25th. It says that adult content sites must offer anonymous age verification and standard age verification. DeSantis said you can have a kid in the house safe, seemingly, and then you can have predators that get that can get right into your home. You could be doing everything right, but they know how to get in and manipulate these different platforms. So I guess that's part of it. And then former House Speaker Paul Renner, a Republican from the Palm Coast, said that adults can do whatever they want, and I don't care, but eight-year-old kids shouldn't be able to access this hardcore stuff at that age.
I agree.
Don't necessarily agree with that. And I think the contention is that any kid can just go to a site that says, are you 18, and click yes. And they're like, well, that's not enough. Of course the kid who wants to see it is going to click yes. So I get what they're trying to do. Clearly, people are still going to get their porn. And so the question is, how are they going to work their way around it?
Yeah, it's the internet. That's the beauty of the internet, right?
And this is just one site, albeit maybe the biggest and most popular, but just one site nonetheless.
Yeah, Vancouver Ford text line. There are millions of porn sites. That's very true.
Well, the interesting thing will be is how many of the other sites will comply with the verification thing, and will those sites get pulled as well because they're not complying with the law, or don't want to, or how many other sites pull themselves. It'll be, I don't know that it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds, but sorry, horny Floridians, your main database taken from you at the turn of the year.
Maybe go find a real person, but consensually to hook up with, okay?
There's an idea. We can get into the cartel massacre, we can get into Christmas movies, we can get into Mr. Beast.
Let's wrap it up with Christmas movies, brother.
All right, let's do that. We'll get to Christmas movies, the best and worst, coming up next, primetime, on The Fan. Well, now that we've got that Grinch Will Ortner out of here, we can talk about Happy Christmas stuff. A little disappointed to find out that he thought that Christmas was meh. Or no, Christmas music
Christmas
was meh.
Christmas music.
Excuse me.
Especially the old stuff. He likes the new age stuff.
Well, he at least likes the Bieber stuff.
That's weird. I guess it's no more weird than me liking NSYNC and thinking that have yourself for Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays slaps, because it does.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the Bieber song. It's fine. I can't believe that would be the number one with no others on the list. But that's neither here nor there. How are you on Christmas movies?
I mean, I've been watching them since like literally November 2nd.
Excellent. Okay,
Christmas Vacation's my top.
Okay, so also, what do you use as a better barometer for the quality of a movie? The IMDb rating or the Rotten Tomatoes rating?
Usually Rotten Tomatoes is the one I'm looking at. I think that's the one that comes up on Google first, if I'm not mistaken, whenever I look up a movie or go to find the Wikipedia of it. But honestly, it's not that far off now. Like, I feel like both are pretty close, and the audience is more... I feel like they're more positioned because they have the time, they're enjoying it in more of like a normal life setting to rate a movie like that as opposed to critics. So
you said Christmas Vacation's your number one?
Absolutely.
That's really interesting for me because for whatever reason, and my family, big Christmas movie family, we kind of run through all of them all the time, but for whatever reason, the Chevy Chase... National Lampoon's was not really in my parents' like rotation as far as like comedic stuff. And so all of those National Lampoon's really didn't get any run in our house. I did not see Christmas Vacation until I was working on 1080 on the morning show and Dusty and Cam turned me on to it. And I knew of it for all these years. It's damn near a perfect Christmas movie. It's so good. And now it's kind of become my de facto favorite because it's the best movie best Christmas movie that I've seen the least. And I love that. It kind of came out of nowhere for me, and it's just about a perfect comedic Christmas movie.
I mean, it's got everything, right? It's got the family feeling. It's got the bustle of the holidays. It's got Clark caught kind of being a little bit of a perv with, you know, that hottie at the underwear counter hitting on him.
Can't see the lines, can you, Russ?
There's actually a cut scene, too, that never made it to the light of day. There's a bunch of deleted scenes that we've never seen because it's just been lost to time. But actually, after they go outside of the mall, there's a continued conversation between Clark and Russ, and makes a great D-word joke, trying to find the truckster in the car, if you catch my drift here.
Sure.
So the continuing of that joke we missed, but just that into the transition with the fear of both in-laws coming to the house, I think that's something so relatable to everybody. And then just trying to have a good Christmas and show your family that you love them and not get gypped by your boss. It's so relatable.
Yeah, it's relatable in all of those ways. Plus, I think there's the wanting to hold on to either family traditions or traditions that are important to you that to other people have started to fall by the wayside. Like, that's another issue with it. He wants to do all the things, all the ways he's already done them, but kind of can't because nobody else will get on board. So I'm looking at the list on Rotten Tomatoes of the top 100 Christmas movies, and I gotta say, I haven't seen most of them.
Oh,
and,
really?
They go back a little bit. So, number one on the Rotten Tomatoes list is Meet Me in St. Louis, 1944. Never seen it. I know it's Judy Garland, but that's about all I know about it. And it's got a 100% tomato score and 87% audience score.
Yeah, I know that there's a famous scene of Judy Garland singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas in that movie, but that's all I've seen from that.
And then number two is The Shop Around the Corner from 1940. I do not know that one at all. James Stewart's in it.
Okay.
And then you get to number three is The Holdovers, which is a brand new movie from a year ago, where Paul Giamatti is like a headmaster at a boarding school, and he's stuck with the kids who didn't get to go home for Christmas break. And it's a pretty raw drama, and it's really good, but I didn't think it'd be number three. So I got to that point in the list, and I'm like, wait a second. Let me flip over to IMDb and see what that list looks like.
I was wrong about the Rotten Tomatoes rating.
Well, it's not so much that there's... I don't know that there's a wrong or right.
Oh, I think I was wrong.
I think this one on IMDb, though, is a little bit more realistically current viewer-centric. So number one on that one, and this is a fantastic movie that I probably haven't seen for a decade. It's A Wonderful Life. An all-time classic.
You have to watch that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it, but it's just been a while. Have you watched this season?
Not this season yet. I think the first movie was Christmas Vacation, and then it was White Christmas. So,
well, number two on the list, always debated. We don't have to have a long one, but Die Hard, Christmas movie or not?
It is absolutely a Christmas movie. My wife made the very good point when we watched it, I think, for the third or fourth time this season, that every 2 to 5 minutes there is a reference to Christmas, albeit in the script, or decorations, or a song that comes up with a Christmassy theme.
The note that Hans gets that says, "Now I have a machine gun."
Ho, ho, ho. And that is one of the points where you're like, oh, Christmas reference. It is absolutely a Christmas movie. And I think the director, who himself says it isn't, is just trolling when he says that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... The plot isn't... Christmas is all around us in Die Hard. It's not the point, but it's very much there. Home Alone's number three. Agree with that one. Love it. A Christmas Carol. There's another one that I haven't... I think I've seen the original once or twice and have not watched in a really long time. I know that there's also other versions. You had a Muppet Christmas Carol. You had a Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol. There have been other iterations. Are you a Christmas Carol person?
Muppet's Christmas Carol is always on our watch list for Christmas every year. The original one's not bad. I liked the animated one that Jim Carrey did. I don't know if that was an FX one or who produced that, but I watched it on FX recently, so decent.
Number five, the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I loved that one.
All the Rankin and Basses.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 47 minutes long. It's hardly a full feature film. It was a made-for-TV 1 hour.
Santa sucks.
Santa's a jerk.
Only helping him out. But he likes you then.
Number six, we do get Christmas Vacation finally. And then another one that I feel like maybe I need to go back and give the appropriate due to. A Christmas Story. Little Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out. And my parents didn't want me watching that one growing up for some reason, and I can't remember if it was because of the shoot your eye out stuff. I don't know what else happened in that movie that was they thought wasn't either appropriate or might be disturbing.
Oh, fudge.
I don't think that was it either, but for whatever reason, it was a 1983 movie that I'm a 1985 kid. It never made it into my Christmas lexicon or my Christmas rotation, and I don't know. I guess I'll give it a look. The guy who plays Ralphie is now neighbors with my buddy in Eagle, Idaho.
Peter Billingsley?
That's right.
That's pretty awesome. Not only play Ralphie, but he has produced so many movies, worked on Iron Man, worked on Four Christmases, just one of or two of the many that he has worked on.
Rounding out the top 10, you've got Miracle on 34th Street, the original. I like the new one, too, that has what Dylan McDermott and Elizabeth Perkins and Mara Wilson, little Mara Wilson, who's Matilda and all that. 9 is Elf. 10, had no idea it was a Christmas movie. Gremlins. You give Gremlins a Christmas movie?
I've never watched it during the Christmas season, although I've heard of that.
And then I know we got to go, but my suggestion, go watch Klaus. If you haven't seen Klaus on Netflix, the animated Jason Schwartzman, it's newer, really good for adults, for kids, for all of them. We got to go because we've got Ducks programming coming up on the other side. I believe the Ducks coaches show, but you'll get the SOB edition of Primetime back again tomorrow. Schulte, Ortner, and Buckley for all of us here on 1080 The Fam and Fan and Primetime. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night. I got a woman down in the tunnel trying to make it.